Have you gone to a doctor's visit and afterwards thought, darn it, I meant to ask her or him about whatever, and I forgot, or maybe you tried to ask a question during the appointment but didn't quite understand the answer. You didn't want to bother the doctor by asking him to explain it again or her to explain it again. Larry Mueller here. Good to have you along today on the Ideas Network. Of course, it's important to have a good healthcare provider. Just as important to feel like you know how to talk to that person so that person can give you the best care possible. And so that we feel like we have the information we need to, advocate for ourselves. We have a doctor here with us today who wants to help you develop your skills of communicating with your healthcare provider. Dr. Michael Guerin is a clinical professor of surgery in the Department of Surgery at the University of Wisconsin School of Medicine and Public Health. Dr. Guerin, thanks for spending time with us today. Really appreciate it.
Thanks for the invitation to join you today, Larry.
I really appreciate it. You give talks on this, don't do you not? Or give presentations on this?
Well, not in a formal sense. I was asked to come up with an idea for a program that's going on in Madison called Walk with the Doc. And it's a series of events where physicians from the community basically go on a walk with members of the community in a local park. And I was asked to come up with an idea. And the easy thing for me as a surgeon would be to talk about what I do, bariatric surgery or general surgery, but I thought that wouldn't be the most useful thing to talk about. And something that I see really on a daily basis in my practice is patients coming to me, usually referred from somebody else, with a couple of issues. Number one is a lot of misinformation. So the question is it a problem with the physician communicating, which unfortunately, I think the majority of situations probably is. But also, is it a situation where the patient hasn't got the tools to advocate properly for themselves and asking appropriate questions? I tailor my conversations with patients trying to anticipate what their questions may be about a surgical procedure or something like that. But the ability to elicit the appropriate questions from the patient, I think, is something that we physicians aren't very good at.
Yeah. I want to remind you that you can join in our conversation as we visit with Dr. Michael Guerin. Don't be afraid to ask him a question, as a
Right,
matter of
exactly.
fact. Do
Hopefully you will.
You feel comfortable asking questions of a health provider? Is there a particular situation that you might need some help with in just terms of how to ask questions or how to deal with this? Or do you have an experience to share, positive or negative? We'd love to hear from you. Give us a call at 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at talk@wpr.org, or you can post on my Facebook page at the Larry Mueller Show. And certainly, we'd love to hear from you. The doctors in general, do they? I mean, you always have the idea, or not you. I so often have the idea that I know my doc, Jim Sossman. He is a busy, busy guy. And so he never seems to mind when I ask him questions, and he'll sit right there and answer questions as long as I ask them. But do doctors mind in general when patients ask questions?
I wish I could answer that with a resounding no, they don't mind. But just like society, physicians have different personalities. I think I've had my own experiences with physicians where I felt that I didn't get the information I wanted. So I would put you in the category of being very lucky to have that sense with your physician. Unfortunately, I think a lot of people aren't.
So it often happens that we have to find a new doctor. Let's talk. Sometimes people, I know someone who's changed because of the fact that the person that they were working with was, they just couldn't deal with the person.
Right.
So what questions do you ask about before choosing a provider?
So I think there are different situations that may provide or present different challenges. So if you're talking about who's going to be your doctor, meaning your primary care physician, your gynecologist, that type of thing, you're looking at a long-term relationship. So you really have to feel comfortable both giving information and receiving information from that person. That's quite a bit different from my situation, where as a surgeon, many of my relationships are relatively short-term.
Sure, yeah.
And the difference being that oftentimes when a patient comes to see me, it's a very high-stress situation.
Yeah.
They've been told they need surgery. Could be something relatively straightforward like a hernia, but it could also be colon cancer and the flood of emotions that come with that. So you really have to tailor, I believe, your communications with your physician based on the situation. In terms of choosing your doctor, your primary care physician, clearly you have to have a level of trust that this person knows what they're doing. How do you get that? Well, that's a tough thing. Unfortunately, much of that is over experience, maybe word of mouth. There's all kinds of grading places out there, which I question the utility of. But when you have that first visit with whoever it may be, I think it's important to actually broach the topic of communication. Try to figure out what the style of communication is. Do they invite questions? Do they like to communicate in some of the more modern techniques of email, electronically mm-hmm. through things like MyChart and so mm-hmm. forth? Those are all things to figure out early and make sure that it goes along with your ideas yeah. of what you need from your physician.
Yeah, good points. Sarkis in Manitowoc, thank you for calling. Hello.
Hi. How are you guys?
Great, thank you. Appreciate your call. What's on your mind?
Well, I just have a comment. We're talking about questions for doctors. A few years ago, I went in to see my doctor, and I had a previous injury from when I was in high school. And it was just a checkup, this appointment, and we went through the whole spiel. And then at the end, he said, do you have any questions? Do you have any concerns? And I just told him, my shoulder from high school is starting to hurt again, and I'm just wondering, you know, what could be the case. And he just kind of gave me this consultation about it, nothing too drastic, sent me on my way. A couple of days later, I get my bill in the mail, and here I'm charged like $900 for this, they titled it previous injury consultation. And I had to, like, combat my insurance company and call my doctor multiple times to get it all squared away. Luckily, I didn't have to pay the $900, but what happened is now when I go in to see him and I sit down and after the checkup and he asks me if anything's bothering me, I just say no, because it's easier.
Yeah.
It's easier than going through all of this insurance stuff to take care of something that I felt, you know, was no big deal.
Yeah.
So your situation points out a couple of things. And number one, the very positive side of what you did is you advocated for yourself. And that's what I think is absolutely key in any doctor-patient relationship. So preparing for the visit ahead of time, I think, is a absolutely crucial thing to do. In your situation, it was kind of an add-on to the end of your visit, which I think, unfortunately, happens fairly frequently. One thing to do there is when you get checked in by the nurse or the medical assistant before the physician comes in, oftentimes they will ask you up front, do you have any specific concerns that you want covered today? And I think having your list ready to fire out, because number one, that'll give your doctor some idea of what time frame he needs to work the conversation into, but also tend to not make these things an afterthought. And you obviously have an extreme situation, hopefully it's extreme, whereby this led to this whole thing. But you advocated for yourself, and I think that's absolutely critically important.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I thought, you know, going into this situation as a first in a doctor's office in, you know, years, so to be with her.
Sorry, you're breaking up. I wish we, Sarkis, thank you so much for calling. I wish we could continue, but you were just breaking up. We can't hear your question. I'm sorry.
It was the insurance company sponsor doing that.
Yeah. Here we go with your question at 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234. Give us a call with your questions or comments. You mentioned earlier other forms of communication. Are you seeing more doctors who are using email, for example?
Yeah, absolutely. I do. Mm-hmm. it is one of those areas that you have to be careful because of the confidentiality issues and so forth. So the good news is that most major medical groups are using the electronic medical record now.
Yeah.
And there are components built in that for direct communication electronically. In our institution, it's called MyChart, and patient can submit questions. We can send out letters with test results and so forth. So a lot of that is facilitated in better fashion than it used to be. I will say that much in similar situations, there are physicians that feel comfortable doing that. There are others that don't. I would say that my senior colleagues have been a little more hesitant to buy into the electronic communication. But clearly, I think the patients are asking for it. I utilize it as a patient myself, and I think it's a great thing.
Yeah, MyChart, I'm in, with Unity and University of Wisconsin Health, and the MyChart's great.
It's surprising, though, how few patients subscribe to it and utilize it.
The hardest part is remembering my PIN.
Right.
Number, to be perfectly honest. But then you can go back and look. I mean, it's kind of interesting to be actually able to go back and review past visits and records and so forth.
Right. Absolutely.
We have more callers online here to visit with our guest today. Dr. Michael Guerin is a clinical professor of surgery in the Department of Surgery at the University of Wisconsin School of Medicine and Public Health, and is going to be with us right up until 12:30 today. By the way, can a nurse help to communicate with a doctor?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, be it communication of test results and that type of thing, I think nurses and medical assistants play a vital role in our clinic setting to do a lot of that communication. And oftentimes the patients will feel a little less intimidated in having that conversation with a nurse or an MA. It's sad that that's the case, yeah. But I think oftentimes that is the case.
Well, I know Dr. Sassman's has one of the finest nurses anywhere who I've worked with many, many times. She is an absolute angel and does a wonderful job. We're going to be talking some more about how to ask your doctor questions with our guest, Dr. Michael Guerin. We'll take a quick look at the news, weather, find out what else is in store for us here on the Ideas Net, and then we will be right back. So please stay with us. We all count on getting good health care, and hopefully we have a lot of confidence in the medical professionals who provide it. But even with the best doctors, there are times when we want or really need to ask questions, and sounds simple. Sometimes it can be difficult to know how to get the answers you need. And happily, we have someone with us today who wants to make sure that you feel comfortable asking your questions and getting them answered clearly and completely. Dr. Michael Guerin is a clinical professor of surgery in the Department of Surgery at the University of Wisconsin School of Medicine and Public Health. And Dr. Guerin, thanks again for spending time with us today. Appreciate it.
It's my pleasure.
Very much. You may have some questions to ask our guest. Do you feel comfortable asking questions at a health appointment? Is there a particular situation that you'd like Dr. Guerin's help with? Give us a call, 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org or post on my Facebook page at The Larry Mehler Show. Certainly, if you've had an experience to share, positive or maybe negative, we hope you'll join in as well. Nick in Green Bay, let's give you a chance. Thank you very much for waiting. Hello.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. My doctor is awesome. I love my doctor. Mm-hmm. His nurses, I just can't stand. We can't communicate. We don't get along. Took me 3 days to get my prescription filled because they refused to call me back, and so now we're looking for a different doctor just because of his nurses.
Oh,
that's too bad.
Yeah, that is too bad.
I think oftentimes the nurses and medical assistants can be just an outstanding resource, but just like physicians, sometimes you get a bad apple in there that can really sour the relationship.
Yeah, that's really, really too bad. And it, frankly, my experience of sort of that is certainly non-research based is that it's usually the other way around.
Absolutely.
It's usually the doctor that people are upset with.
I can guarantee you that most of my patients would prefer to talk to my MA Susan than talk to me.
Well, how should we prepare before going in, let's just say, a regular checkup?
So I think that preparation is key. Number one, write things down. Write your questions down. Write your concerns down. And you want to get out very early in the visit what your concerns are. Maybe you've got a new ache or a pain or something that's bothering you that you really want to be addressed in that visit. I think the worst thing is to walk out of a visit and realize that something has gone completely unnoticed that you wanted to talk about. And so writing things down. Doing research before your visit. If you're visiting me as a surgeon for, say, gallbladder problems, go online beforehand and do some research. Now, there's a lot of really good stuff online. There's a lot of really bad stuff online. But you know that there's some reputable sites out there. The Mayo Clinic site and so forth can give you some good information to arm you with information to ask the appropriate questions when you get into your physician.
We have Bob in Madison with a question. Thank you, Bob, for calling. Hello.
Good afternoon. Thanks for taking the call.
Sure.
I got a question for Dr. Guerin. If a patient is referred to him for, say, a semi-minor surgery, and the patient requests, sort of in the terms of the second opinion, requests a scan or some test that Dr. Guerin didn't think was necessary, how would he receive that request?
That's an interesting situation, certainly one that we see from time to time. I think that could certainly lead to some tension in a relationship if the physician, in fact, felt that a test was not necessary. That's one situation where I think it's really incumbent on the physician to explain his position, his or her position, as to why a test is necessary or unnecessary. We see it in both directions. We all hear about physicians ordering more tests than they need. We should also be asked to explain that as well. Conflict is one of those things that will arise. There's no doubt about it in every doctor-patient relationship. And I think having the conversation, being well-armed with information and a rationale why you think that test is important. And you mentioned the term second opinion. And I think that's something that patients are oftentimes afraid to ask for. I think they believe that their physician is going to think less of them for asking or be angry for asking for a second opinion. When I have patients bring up the idea of a second opinion to me, my retort is, if you ever go to a physician that says you don't need a second opinion, that's when you do need a second opinion. And I think too little of that is done. It's more difficult given insurance relationships and so forth to necessarily get that. But I think if you're uncomfortable with the decision that's made, number one, have the conversation with your doctor. Number two, pursue other opinions.
I would think, you know, it may be, you know, you see so much advertising on television right now, for example, or you read it in magazines, Reader's Digest, as an example. I was looking at some telling people, ask your doctor for this or ask your doctor for that. So I'm wondering if actually there's more conflict now over that than there used to be.
I suspect there is. I also, the doctor-patient relationship has changed over the years. There used to be this concept that, boy, you did whatever your doctor told you. You didn't question it.
Yeah.
And I think rightfully so, that has changed. I think in this day and age, it really is incumbent on patients, and we're all patients at some point, to advocate for what is best for themselves.
Jerry in Milwaukee, thank you for calling. Hi.
Hi. Yeah, my doctor, I went in for my physical, and I get a blood test for my cholesterol. And it's high, and he sent me in to do a test. But anyways, he wants me to go see a cardiologist.
Yeah.
And I don't know what kind of questions I should be asking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a tough situation, and that may be similar to patients that are sent to me as a surgeon. They've been told they have some condition that needs surgery. Go see Dr. Guerin or one of his colleagues, mm-hmm. and how do you prepare for that? I guess I would start by saying, in an ideal world, you could ask your doctor, the one that referred you, what should I be looking for in this visit? What might I expect from this visit with the specialist? Hopefully you'll get at least a starting point to do some research at that point. Go online and look up the condition for which you're being referred. And anything that pops in your mind as a question, I want to know about this, that's what you should write down, and you should be asking your cardiologist or your surgeon or whoever it is that you've been referred to.
Yeah. Yeah, there's...
Okay.
All right, thank you very much for calling. I appreciate your call. Yeah, it's something like cardiologist. I could see a whole raft of questions that could go down different lines depending on what the person...
Right, all of which are likely clouded with a high degree of anxiety. You're told that you need to go see a heart specialist or you need to go see a surgeon for your colon cancer. That takes it up a notch in terms of anxiety and makes, I believe, the communication less effective unless you're prepared.
Yeah. We have more callers online. By the way, there are some open lines. We can get you on at 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org or post on my Facebook page at the Larry Mueller Show. We'd love to hear from you. Leanne in Waukesha, hi, thank you for calling.
Yes, thank you, Dr. Guerin. It's very interesting to hear all of your various attitudes towards the questions that are being answered. Mine is regarding the overall health of the patient and how much the physician really delves into that, looking at the patient as a whole person.
Mm-hmm.
I'll give you an example. I have a relative, a woman, 65 years of age. She has not been to a dentist in over 10 to 12 years mm-hmm. because of a negative experience that she had and evidently has never been able to get past that. She was diagnosed with heart disease a year and a half ago. She sees her primary care physician, a cardiologist, and an endocrinologist. And none of these people, it appears to me when I talk to her, that none of these people truly delve into who she is as a person overall, her attitudes about overall health, and also her lifestyle.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. And I think it points out one of the difficult things that's happening in our healthcare system right now. There are a lot of changes going on. One of them is the increasing specialization. So you'll get a gallbladder doctor, you'll get a brain doctor, you'll get a heart doctor, you'll get a colon doctor. And the question is, who's the captain of the ship, so to speak, in terms of your overall health? Certainly the idea is that your primary care physician would serve that role. But again, getting the attention that you want in that regard, in some measure, is your responsibility as a patient to demand that of your primary care physician. And if you're not getting it, you need to have that conversation very forthright. You know, I see all the time patients come to me that have many, many different physicians for different reasons.
Yeah.
And the classic example is each one will add on another medication.
Yeah.
And even if that medication doesn't work, it continues on and it in perpetuity. Instead of having one person really overseeing the overall health, as you put it, of the overall health and situation of the patient, to really see, okay, this is where we need to be, this is where we need to head. And it's very important that you feel comfortable that your doctor is addressing that for you.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. This is an individual that is very patient and is very respectful of what the doctor is telling her. She doesn't always think, I don't think, of asking the right questions. And I'm wondering, would this be a situation where maybe she should be cared for or...
Somebody accompanying her?
Absolutely. Thank you for bringing that up, because when I talk about advocacy and advocacy for oneself at a doctor's appointment, that does not exclude bringing along someone as, number one, a second set of ears to hear what the doctor is saying, but also to be the forceful advocate for asking the questions that need to be asked. And I see that quite a bit in my practice. I appreciate when they bring somebody along. I appreciate when they have a legal pad and a pen ready to write down answers.
Sure.
Or have the questions written down. Again, the person you bring with you very likely is not going to have the same degree of anxiety that the patient does sitting in the chair right next to me. So I think having an advocate with you is absolutely an ideal thing to do.
And thanks very much for calling, Leanne. I appreciate your call. I want to give Barb in Caledonia, Minnesota, a chance to join us. Barb, hi. Thanks for calling.
Yes, thank you. This is a brief anecdote. When my 16-year-old son was apparent that he needed an emergency appendectomy, I asked the doctor how many appendectomies he had performed and if he was fatigued. And the doctor was very gracious, and he said, well, I've done this before, and ma'am, we're all fatigued. And he said, but if you prefer another doctor. I said, oh, no, I just saw that on a 60-minute program that I should ask those kinds of questions. And so then my son was being prepared for surgery, and the nurse said, ma'am, he's the chief trauma surgeon, and he's done about 1,000 of these, so your son is in good hands. So yeah. That was I felt good about asking because it was new to me. It was a anxiety-filled situation with a ruptured appendix, and I'm glad I asked that because it put me at ease.
Absolutely, and that's a classic example. I see every night I'm on call, I take out an appendix, and I see parents or patients themselves, really, they are submitting themselves to a treatment that they didn't have any plans for probably 12 hours earlier, and that is a high-stress situation, and oftentimes, asking those types of questions, that's what starts the communication with the doctor. That surgeon, you're gonna see him for the next 8 hours. You may see him once in a week or two for a postoperative check, and that relationship is likely over at that point. But establishing that communication is key.
A funny thing, then a couple years later, I was in for something very similar, and he said, don't I know you? Ah. And I said, yeah, I'm here for the same thing, and I've diagnosed myself. So,
yeah. Yeah,
so thank you very much.
Thanks a lot for calling. I'll just add one anecdote. I had my appendix out the night before my first final exam as a freshman at the University of Wisconsin. And so I missed all my exams, but my mother was in the same hospital, and so the doctor called my mother and said, would you like to see your son before we take him into surgery?
Yeah, there you go.
So we were both in there at the same time. Oh, my goodness. John in La Crosse, thanks for calling. Hi.
Hey, how you doing, doctor?
Great, thank you.
I was calling on behalf of my dad. We've got an appointment today with his primary care physician, and so he's had several issues. He's always had high blood pressure and then gouty arthritis, I guess. That's been an issue for a long time. And he's had this arthritic hip for a long time, too. They've talked to him, I guess, a number of years about getting a surgery, and he's been trying some alternatives to surgery and with, you know, varying degrees of success. And then just recently, actually, he had a stroke, and he's had some seizures in between the strokes. He had two strokes, I guess. So right now we're focusing on rehab, trying to get him walking again, that kind of thing. Anyways, so we have the appointment today with the primary care physician, and you kind of mentioned this, I heard a minute ago, talking about how one doctor will prescribe one medicine for this, and you have another medicine for that. So that's kind of the deal we have now. He's on about 13 different medications mm-hmm. for various things. And I was wondering, should I be asking our primary care physician if he thinks we need to adjust the doses or, drop one medicine? Or, he's not a neurologist, I guess, by trade, so is it not really his job to decide if the seizure medication should be dropped or that kind of thing?
Right. I like a couple of things that you said. You said that we have an appointment with the primary care physician mm-hmm. today, so I assume that means that you're
yeah.
going to go along with.
And
yeah, absolutely, that is I think that's a great question to ask anytime you go to see your primary care physician. If you're on several medications, I think always asking, do I need to be on all these medications? And if nothing else, that gets them to think about it. The easy thing to do with somebody with a list of 13 medications, I've had patients with 25 different medications. The easy thing to do is just to assume that they're all critical and that they should be continued. Whereas I think somebody with a critical eye, and the primary care physician is the ideal person to at least examine it, that's absolutely something that should be done. And to your point about, you know, does the neurologist have control over the seizure medications? Well, at some point, that would be an opinion that I think would need to be had. But it could be something that the primary care physician could pose that in a question electronically generated to the neurologist to say, hey, are we at a point now where we can wean or discontinue this medication? I think that's a great question to ask.
Okay.
Thank you very much. Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call. Are there different types of questions? I suppose there are that you ask or you should be asking at various stages of your life. You know, you're in your 20s or you're in your, you know, 40s and you're in your 60s.
I think absolutely. We hear a lot now about young, healthy people and their health insurance, where they get their health insurance and so forth. The tendency would be for the younger population to be in the more acute situation, the appendicitis, the torn knee ligament, that type of thing. So the questions that you will ask in that situation likely are going to be very different. It's absolutely reasonable to ask your surgeon in the emergency room, have you ever done this before? Mm-hmm. That's a great question. As you get on towards your 50s and so forth, then you have to start thinking about, okay, I know that there are certain tests that need to start to be done at some point in time. What are those tests? When should I have them? Why should I have them? What happens if I don't have them? And then later on in life, like the previous caller, we see so many of our geriatric patients being heavily medicated and never having that review done, that those are questions that I think should be asked at every visit. And in addition, starting to have conversations as you get older about what your vision is about the rest of your life and your health. And some people are in rather dire straits with their health, either acutely or chronically. Have the conversation about, okay, if something bad happens, what do I want to do with that? Have that conversation with your primary care physician. Have that conversation with your family. Those are things that I think we need to be asking.
And if we feel like a doctor is rushing or maybe not explaining things clearly enough for us to understand, what's the best way to communicate that?
Yeah. So number one, say so.
Yeah.
I think we don't hear that probably enough. There's no doubt many physicians have very, very busy, tight schedules. We would love to offer as much time possible with every patient, but we have to realize there's another patient in the room next door and one or two or three out in the waiting room.
Mm-hmm.
So there is time pressure. I think this is where electronic communication can be very helpful. If you walk out feeling, I didn't have enough time to ask these questions, email, my chart, those types of things, or making another appointment right away as you're walking out. I think it's important to get the answers that you want.
Well, this is really great information that you've shared with us today. And that second opinion thing, I think, is so hard for people to ask.
Very, very hard. You know, the interesting thing is I find most of my patients, when I say, I invite you to get a second opinion or go get one, usually they are so comfortable with that answer that they usually don't, which I find very interesting.
Well, Dr. Guerin, it's been a real pleasure today. Thank you so much. So you've done this little walk?
No, the walk's coming up in October. We've got a few more before then. My partner Lee Wilkie is going to talk about breast cancer in a few weeks. So we invite people to come out and walk in the park.
Can they go to do you go to Walk in the Park?
The Madison Parks website, Walk in the Park, and there's the whole list of upcoming events.
Judith will post that on our Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. Thank you so much.
It's been my pleasure. Thank you.
Dr. Michael Guerin is a clinical professor of surgery in the Department of Surgery at the UW School of Medicine and Public Health. So, you know, this is the kind of guy you'd probably want, if you're going to have surgery, this would be the kind of person that I want cutting on me. I don't know about you, but certainly in my that's my feeling on it anyway. Gosh, great to have him along. Great to have you listening in. Thank you for listening. Garden Talk coming up tomorrow. In the meantime, stay with us here on the Ideas Network.